Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And during this segment, I'm going to be talking with a couple of folks from the Houghton County Democratic Party. And one of the main topics we're going to be talking about is the reform and repeal of the Affordable Care Act that's been proposed by Republicans in Congress. And if you've been paying attention, you'll know that a little while ago there was a die-in held here in Houghton. We'll talk a little bit about that, the purpose of it. And I want to kind of stress just as we're getting started here that we have three kind of rules of thumb or topics that we cover on Copper Country Today. We talk about community events, political issues, and topics that impact the Keweenaw area. I say that at the end of every show. And I also strive to do my best job on trying to keep this show nonpartisan, just willing to talk to anybody, hear their thoughts, ask some questions, and engage in dialogue, which is something we all should be trying to do. So there may be things that you do not agree with that is discussed during this segment, and if you are on an opposing viewpoint, perhaps you're part of the Houghton County Republican Party or similar organization, and you would like to have an opportunity to come in one of the upcoming shows and share your viewpoint on healthcare reform, I'd be more than happy to do so. So with that said, let me introduce the co-chair of the Houghton County Democratic Party, Bill Benroth, and also vice chair of the Political Organizing Committee of the party, Valori Troche. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with a couple of weeks ago when you had the die-in at Veterans Park in Houghton. What was the cause for doing that? What was the motivation?
Well, and the main reason for the die-in was, as you know and as you said, we're right now in the middle of a real debate about what the future of the Affordable Care Act is going to be, whether it will remain in effect or whether it's going to change and how significantly it's going to change. And it's our feeling as part of the Democratic Party that the proposed changes can have a significant negative impact, not only nationally, but in particular on the people who live in the Copper Country and the people who live in the First District of Michigan. And so it was our intent to use that day to draw attention to what some of those potential negative consequences could be. And, you know, I have to say that we don't know what they're going to be right now. There were initial estimates given by the CBO about some potential impacts, but then the proposed law changed. And now we're waiting for a new CBO estimate tomorrow. So we really don't know. We're dealing in an area of uncertainty here. But the purpose of the die-in was to expose what some of those consequences could be, in particular for local residents. It was part of a national day. There were die-ins that took place all across the country, so we were just one of many.
Well, what was the significance of that type of protest? I mean, there were people lying in the grass with signs that were shaped like tombstones.
Yeah, if I could just comment on that, is that for the first congressional district of Michigan alone, we've seen estimates that between 40 and 65,000 people may actually, over the next 10 years, lose their health insurance. And in many cases for people, especially elderly people, seniors and up, losing your health insurance can result in death. This is kind of one of the reasons we chose the symbolism of a gravestone to put our messages out to the public on. It can be detrimental, it can be fatal to people. In fact, in my own extended family, the loss of health insurance for a young man, 34 years old, who lost his health insurance due to a change in his job situation, which was due to a health condition. He lost his health insurance, and unbeknownst to his extended family further away, this caused his response being a heart attack, from which he eventually passed away about 6 weeks ago. And so it's an issue. The gravestone symbolism is a symbolism, all right, but it's also very real.
What would be the response to, you know, comments that are sometimes made? One was recently that losing your health insurance doesn't cause you to die, that nobody dies from losing health insurance.
Well, one of the things that I talked about at the die-in, and a number of people got up and talked about their own personal experiences or experiences of people that they know and care about. The thing that we are facing here is the very real prospect of returning to a situation that existed before the Affordable Care Act. And that, probably the most threatening thing is what is dealing with pre-existing conditions. So the experience that I talked about was that of my niece. And 10 years ago, she was married, had a little boy, 10 months old, and she called me one day and said that she had just been diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, and she did not have health insurance because her husband had lost his job, and they could not afford to pay the COBRA premiums, which are a lot higher than what you would pay when you're working and covered by the insurance. So they couldn't afford to pay COBRA, so they had gone for probably 5 or 6 months without insurance. And her husband had a new job, but he was earning too much money to qualify for medical assistance, and his new insurance had not gone into effect yet. And so here she was facing, she didn't know what. So she lived in Minnesota, and I went down and I took her to Mayo Clinic, and she had an appointment. And my first encounter with what it meant to not have insurance is when we were registering her, the person said, well, I either need to have your insurance card or I need to have $7,000 to pay for the test that you're going to have today. Well, she didn't have an insurance card. So as I said at the die-in, she was lucky that I could pay that $7,000 for that day, but I didn't have the money to pay for her whole course of treatment. So we went into her appointments, and her doctor came in and told her that without treatment, this mother of a 10-year-old baby was going to die in 3 to 6 months. So we had to find some way that she could get insurance. And in her circumstances, we had to go to really extraordinary measures. She had to separate from her husband so that she could qualify for medical assistance. And I read, this was reported in the newspaper, and I read a comment because all of the facts weren't reported in the paper, so the follow-up wasn't included. And one person had cynically commented, yeah, I'll bet she's back with her husband now and everything's fine. No. The stress and strain of that entire situation caused that marriage to end. And so everybody paid a huge price for that circumstance. And it could have been avoided. Certainly under the ACA, that situation would never have occurred. So when you say that people aren't going to die for lack of health insurance, there is no question. Without health insurance, my niece would have died. She received the best care that there is, and she's alive today, thankfully. But that would not have been the outcome without health insurance.
This is the, let's kind of lay down a little bit of groundwater framework here with the proposal that was approved by the House of Representatives on the new version is the American Health Care Act. And how that is different than Affordable Health Care Act that was passed under Obama. Can you explain the differences between the two, the pre-existing conditions being one?
Well, it's very complicated. So the things that I'm going to talk about probably are an oversimplification. That's the first thing. The second thing, as I said before, we don't really know how this law is going to turn out. So all I can talk about is where things stand currently, if this law actually becomes, you know, what replaces the ACA.
Yeah, we're certainly expecting the Senate to make some changes. Who knows what happens after it goes through, a few different loops like that. But yeah, so just kind of looking at the general ideas as it's been proposed right now.
Well, the biggest change is going to be the fact that pre-existing conditions will continue to be covered as long as, and this is the critical thing, a person, an insured, or a person does not have a gap in their coverage of more than 63 days. Now, if we go back to the situation of my niece, I mean, that's pretty common. People lose their jobs. They can't afford to pay for COBRA because the premiums tend to be higher. And if they're uninsured during that time, more than 63 days, there can be one of two consequences that happen. The first consequence can be if they pick up insurance in a state that has not elected to forego those community health ratings, then they pay a penalty. They can still get insurance. Their pre-existing condition doesn't count against them, but they pay a penalty of, I believe it's 30% of the premium amount for the next 12 months. But so if you've got the money, you can get insurance. The other more serious consequence is that this law proposes that each state can choose whether or not it wants to use the community health ratings, which is basically what insurance companies use to price how much health insurance costs. And under the old insurance systems before the ACA, insurance companies could basically price somebody out of the market because they could consider all of their health conditions in order to set a premium. So if states elect to forego those community ratings, then that means that insurance companies can now use health conditions of an individual to set the cost of their premiums. If an individual has continuous coverage and they never lose coverage, then they can't be penalized for having a pre-existing condition. But in a state that waives the community health ratings, if a person loses their health insurance for more than 63 days, the insurance companies can set the premium at any price. So whether or not and how much your insurance, whether you can get insurance and how much it costs, will literally end up depending on what state you live in.
Sounds very similar to auto insurance, where if you have a lapse in coverage for more than a period of time, or you have a bad driving record, number of accidents, number of tickets, you'll face a higher premium. Do you see a comparison there, either of you?
Well, there is a comparison, and this is the comparison I would make. One of the biggest objections to the ACA was the mandate that people have to carry health insurance. In this state, and in most states, if you want to drive a car, you have to carry insurance for that car. And if you fail to carry insurance, you lose your right to drive that car.
Now, I'd like to kind of continue on the point that Valori was making regarding the major effects of what has now gone through the House of Representatives as a bill. One of the proposals in there is to cut the Medicaid package portion of health care coverage by up to $800 billion over the next 10 years. And the targeted audience for those cuts are definitely the poor, the elderly, the people who really need this as a safety net to protect their own health. So it's a huge cut. And in the proposal of this bill, this is a cut that even exceeds by, say, 20% the amount of a tax cut that the House of Representatives has proposed to go along with the bill. So it's almost on the same order of magnitude. Cut Medicaid for the next 10 years by $800 billion, and that will pay for a tax cut that's being proposed of $600+ billion. So the two are all part of that overall package that has now gone to the Senate, as you had said earlier, to be modified in some way, shape, or form.
And let me just kind of add on what Bill was saying about that tax cut. This is not a tax cut for every American. This is a specific tax cut geared towards people who earn over $250,000 a year, a tax cut for pharmaceutical companies, which had a special tax affixed in the ACA to help pay for the cost of the ACA. So these are very targeted tax cuts to the wealthy and to corporations.
Okay, so some questions. Does the mandate remain that you have to buy in health insurance, and if you don't, you get penalized?
The mandate is gone, and the only penalty that there is if you have a lapse in coverage for more than 63 days, then you pay this 30% penalty for the next 12 months on any insurance that you acquire later on.
Okay. And the tax cut that's been proposed that you were mentioning, is that an income tax cut, or was that a tax reduction in the Cadillac insurance premiums?
The tax on the Cadillac insurance premiums is, even under the, as it was under the ACA and under the AHCA, is being deferred. So that still is not going to go into effect.
Okay.
The tax cuts that I'm talking about are, the one is a tax on income. So that was just a special tax that was imposed on high earners. There was another special tax on pharmaceutical companies, so that was a corporate tax.
Okay.
The important point is, these are not tax cuts that most people who live in the Copper Country are going to see any benefit from.
Okay, so the reason why I asked for that clarification was, you know, I've heard from those arguing in favor of the new plan is that because, you know, there are going to be, or, you know, they're going to cut the Medicaid down because there aren't going to be so many people that are going to be on that insurance, and so that money has to be saved from somewhere, and that's why other changes were being made. If you're not going to be having the mandate, which requires people to pay a penalty if they're not buying insurance, that money was being used to fund the 30 million people that were supposed to get health insurance under the previous plan, and so that had to be taken away. So that's why I was asking about clarification for there. And I'm sure it's still convoluted, and I still don't understand it completely, but trying to get there anyways, as I'm sure many people are. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in many ways, I just read a summary, a 10-page summary written by the Kaiser Foundation, which is a very well-known and respected research organization affiliated with Kaiser Permanente Health, and mostly on the West Coast. And there were a lot of complaints about how complicated the ACA was, and it is a complicated law. But there was a certain beauty to it, that everything all fit together. It all worked as one piece. And reading through the American Healthcare Act, I don't know how it's going to end up, but it's like somebody just went into the ACA and just tried to tear away bits and pieces of it. There really isn't much rhyme or reason to the whole law. It's very difficult to understand. We are going to end up with, and this is what's going to, you know, one of the things that happened before the ACA was people would have health insurance policies and they thought they were covered. And lo and behold, they'd go in for something and they'd find out it wasn't covered. They had no idea what kind of insurance coverage they had. This is going to happen again. There will be so many different kinds of insurance that are offered. People will think they're buying one thing. And, you know, my personal opinion of insurance companies is that their process towards dealing with claims is you deny first and let the insured person try to prove that they're supposed to be covered. People are going to end up being very, very surprised about what they've actually got in their insurance policies.
Well, Valoria, definitely can relate to some of that, and you know, those type of issues. If we can, you know, there's so much division when it comes to even something as, you know, healthcare for Americans, and how much should be paid or how it should be provided, and what should be covered, and yet a lot of us would share that, you know, that same type of experience where we've dealt with insurance companies. We you know everybody's got a story to tell, you know, about whether it was getting health treatment for health care or dealing with a health, you know, a health insurance provider or and did the Affordable Care Act, you know, solve all of those problems? Did it create a whole new set? And that's what we're kind of seeing. And so we see this pendulum going to try to, you know, swing one way, and then it comes back and swings the other because we just had an election. But yet a lot of times, you know, just addressing, you know, those problems, you know, as ones that you have mentioned, you know, you would think we could get everybody on the table at the table to discuss, okay, well, we definitely do want to fix this, and we definitely do want to fix this. You know, our, you know, pre-existing conditions, you know, are a problem. Yes, I know they are. I had a pre-existing with a toenail, ingrown toenail one time. Got hired at a job. I had a 90-day wait period before your insurance kicked in. And during that 90 days, because I was wearing steel-toed boots, I had an ingrown toenail. So when my 90 days were up and I got my insurance, about a week later, I went and had my toenail looked at. The claim got denied because it was a pre-existing condition, even though it was, you know, started when I was at work. Luckily, after a little while, the insurance company was able to get to work with me. And that was just an ingrown toenail, you know, nowhere near as serious as the condition with your niece there. But we've all had those kind of run-ins that make you scratch your head and say, well, can't we come to an agreement on some of these things and come up with a plan that works for the majority of people?
Well, you know, I don't think, I'm certainly not here, and I don't think most Democrats would say that the Affordable Care Act was perfect. It should have had a public option, and my feeling is that we would not be having this conversation today if there had been a public option in the plan, and that basically translates into Medicare for All. There are many advantages to a Medicare for All program, not the least of which is the fact that it can be offered just off the top at a premium that is 20% less than most private insurance companies, because there's no profit motive involved, and because the costs of administering Medicare are about 2% versus about 20% for private insurance companies. So I do think that one of the biggest problems with the ACA is the fact that premiums have become very expensive. Having said that, I will also qualify it by saying that medical care itself is becoming incredibly expensive. We all hear about these treatments. We are bombarded with them on television, the kinds of drugs that are coming out to treat cancer, and everybody wants that. And those treatments are $100,000 a year or more. And if anyone thinks that health insurance premiums are not going to go up under any plan, private health insurance premiums, then I have a bridge in Manhattan that I need to sell them. Health insurance premiums are going to continue to go up until we do something about regulating the costs of drug prices, regulating the costs of medical care, and changing the way that health insurance is sold, which at least at a minimum would be offering a Medicare for All option.
Bill, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I wanted to just perhaps add to the story in the sense that the AHCA that's being proposed by the House of Representatives is not supported. In fact, it's opposed by a lot of associations of hospitals, doctors, and others in the medical profession. So it's not a partisan issue from the standpoint that only Democrats oppose AHCA. It's some associations of professionals that really think it's going down the wrong road. And to how does that translate to this local area? One of the biggest impacts would be that it would affect rural area hospitals such as we have here in the entire UP and the upper part of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Those hospitals would be the first to feel the impact of a bill such as that. And that's why we're somewhat passionate about getting the message out to the people. So, you know, we can see that at points in the future, we will be out there again to show our commitment to that cause that could have such detrimental effects to the people of this area alone. As I said, between 40,000 and 65,000 people could lose their insurance. And we think that can be very fatal.
As Valori mentioned before we began, the 25 minutes fly by, and we're actually just about out of time here. And, you know, it's a topic that we could probably talk for literally for hours. And I encourage people to educate themselves. Learn as much as you can. Don't take anybody else's word for it. Learn it yourself and make your own determination. What's right for one person isn't going to be right for, you know, everybody out there. So find out what I guess form your own opinions. If you want to get more information from the Houghton County Democratic Party or other sources that you would recommend, where would you send people?
They can Google Houghton County Democratic Party, and that will take them directly to the website and will give them contact information.
Great. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.